A Sunday school teacher was shocked to hear little Johnny swear in class. And she said, "Now, Johnny, I never want to hear you talk like that again. Where did you even learn that word anyway?" And little Johnny said, "My dad. Well, he should be ashamed of himself. And just because he talks like that doesn't mean you should. You don't even know what that word means." And little Johnny said, "Yes, I do. It means the car won't start." Whose mental engines are having a hard time turning over in response to the magnificent, mighty news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now at St. John's, we say that doubts are okay, questions are welcome. Please, come as you are. So if you've ever doubted any of the details of the resurrection, you are not disqualified from being here. And in fact, the people who first experienced the resurrection responded to it in much the same way that many of us do when we first hear about it. The women show up to the tomb. It's empty. And they do not immediately say, "Oh, of course, he's risen." No, they don't say that. They were quite aware, and perhaps even more aware than you and I are with our scientific learning, that dead people do not get up out of graves and walk out of their tombs. People in first century Israel were much closer to death and dead bodies than you and I are. Much closer to that reality. And so, what happens? The scriptures tell us that the women were perplexed. We hear that from St. Luke. They're perplexed. They have not yet believed. And then these two men in dazzling clothes, that's biblical hint for angels, appear and tell them, "Hey, Jesus isn't here. He has risen." And then the scriptures tell us, then the woman remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. So in response to the angel's words, they had an epiphany. Everything that Jesus had previously said took on a new meaning for them. All the bloody puzzle pieces of the events that had taken place were starting to come together. Now, do you think in that moment they understood everything? No. But they did understand that something extraordinary had happened. Jesus was alive. And so they go, following the instructions of Jesus via the angels, to the apostles. Now let's just very briefly pause here. Bing! Isn't it interesting that in all of the gospel accounts, Jesus first appears to women, and it is women who first announce, proclaim, preach the resurrection of Jesus. Isn't that interesting? Bing! So they get to the male apostles, and do the gentlemen believe the ladies? No, no, they don't. The scriptures tell us that these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But to be fair, why would they? The apostles had seen Jesus crucified. They also knew that dead people do not rise from the dead. 3 years of miracle, 3 years of hope, 3 years of expectancy, all brought to a bloody end by betrayal and crucifixion. It was over. How many of you remember Peter, the apostle? Yeah. Peter, the very human apostle, the very prone to mess up apostle. Peter, who when Jesus is arrested, runs away. Peter, who recently denied knowing Jesus 3 times. This Peter hears the words of the woman, and he has to check it out. So he rushes down to the tomb, he looks in, and the scriptures tell us that he was amazed at what had happened. Do you think Peter understood everything then in that moment? No, absolutely not. He probably wasn't even really sure at all what had taken place. But the rest of this day is history. Not long after these events, the Christian faith went viral across the Mediterranean world.
It started off with a tiny
little group of rough and ragtag peasant women and fishermen and outcasts. And it quickly escalated to a group of thousands of people and millions, and then over the centuries even more. Virtually from every single language and nation and station in life. Now, it does have to be said that this resurrection movement has had its dark days, its inexcusable mess-ups, and its unfaithful failures. But because of God's faithfulness, it has continued to bless and transform lives by the billions. And now for a billion-dollar joke. Would you believe a $1,000 joke? Would you believe a three-penny joke? Well, here's the joke. A pastor once fell out with her church council over various policies and procedures. There were lots of arguments, and it got very tense to the point at which she just said, I can't keep doing this. And so she decided she would leave that parish to take up a position as a prison chaplain. So she has her last Sunday at that church, and she preaches on the text from John 14:1, which says, I go to prepare a place for you. Gotta think for a second there, Ben. Church, I have good news for you. Christ Jesus has gone to prepare a place for you. A place beyond death. The new dawn after a long night. The resurrection of a dead dream. A fresh start after failure or loss. The good news is that your story is not finished, whether you are 9 or 99. Your best contribution to the world may yet be in front of you. And certainly, underline certainly, the biggest impact that you can make on the people you care about can happen in the days ahead. As Pastor Craig Colster has written, quote, the Easter message calls you from your old belief in death to a new belief in life. End of quote. Now, the tomb, the stone outside of the tomb of your hope may seem secure. The Messiah of a planned relationship, planned career, planned family may have been crucified. You can't see how it can possibly be raised. But neither could Mary Magdalene and the woman at the tomb. Neither could Peter and the apostles. And yet they all experienced resurrection. What could not be, became. What wasn't, was. As Father Ron Rollheiser has written, quote, the resurrection assures us that God never gives up on us, even if we give up on ourselves. That God writes straight with the crooked lines of our lives. Resurrection is not just a question of one day after death rising from the dead. It certainly includes that and the promise of eternal life. But it is also about daily rising from the many mini graves within which we so often find ourselves. End of quote. The Easter message calls you from your old belief in death to a new belief in life. The Easter message calls you from your old belief in death to a new belief in life. Let's say that together. The Easter message calls you from your old belief in death to a new belief in life. Now, for sure, death is part of the deal for the human being. And you and I will have to deal with seasons of sorrow and seasons of pain, seasons of being off the mountain. And if you're currently in one of those seasons right now, hang on for that dawn, hang on for that resurrection, and let us and others help you to hang on. But the engine-roaring message of the resurrection is that death is not the final word. Death is not the end of the journey. Neither Peter nor Mary Magdalene expected Jesus to raise from the dead. Nor did they expect their lives to be raised to new significance, new impact, new challenges. But they were. And your life can too. If that sounds like good news to you, say amen.
Amen.
It is good news. It's not just, the resurrection is not just 2,000-year-old news. But the good news for today, for you, for me, for the world. To sum it up, the resurrection does not teach us how to live. The resurrection teaches us how to live again and again and again.